This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Olscher.
Alrighty, welcome to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. Hanging out, Steve Olscher, Mary Golay, Rich Ote. What's up, Richie Rich?
What's going on?
What's up, Mary?
Hello.
The enthusiasm is deafening. And Mr. Mark Ramsey drove all the way from Rancho Bernardo to be with us. And thank you for doing so.
Oh, you're quite welcome. I just wrote down, mediocrity meets its final demise.
Yeah, that's good, right? That's some damn, that's some
this
fucking
is that
good
spot.
Copywriting right there.
This is that spot.
This is where life meets its final demise right here. This is the end. So whatever career trajectory you are on, Mark, it's hosed from this point.
I guess so.
Oh, man. All right, so thanks for joining us as we are going to be reinventing media strategies, because that is the official title we came up with. And look, if anyone is deserving of the show title of Reinventing Media Strategies, it's got to be Mark Ramsey.
I hope so.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so for those who don't know you, including myself and Rich and Mary, give us a little bit of detail about who you are and what you do.
All right, so I work with people in the broadcast space, people in the audio space, podcasters, online radio, et cetera, nationwide, worldwide, locally, regionally, everywhere. With the intention of growing audiences and giving more of what people want to the people who want it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I do in a nutshell.
Very cool. And so give us an example of somebody that you've worked with and where they were and where you were able to take them.
Well, it varies widely. I mean, radio stations will call me to figure out how to get more listeners and grow their ratings.
Mm-hmm.
People in the online space will call for a variety of reasons, from, you know, we have a deposition coming and we need someone to testify,
mm-hmm.
to please consult. You know, I have someone who is a music artist with a radio show and a digital platform who called me this morning to say, how do I kind of grow all those elements and be more of a personality brand?
Mm-hmm.
So it's those things across the board. I also have a podcast that I do called Media Unplugged with mm-hmm. a brand guru named Tom Asacker, and that's going really well. So all of those various elements, and I'm also actually, this isn't public yet, but who cares, I'm developing content for another podcast that debuts in November that mm-hmm. I can't talk about yet, but it's going to be very cool, and it's 6 episodes of writing. So,
wow, very cool. All right, so for those who are just kind of becoming familiar with the podcast world, what's your take on what I would call push media, which is sort of the terrestrial, here's what we have, take it or leave it, versus pull media, which is this whole sort of, you know, audio streaming, podcasting, etc. What's your take on the push world versus the pull world, and is the pull world here to stay?
Well, ultimately, it's all pull. Because you can put it out, that doesn't mean I'm going to take it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's there in the air doesn't mean I'm going to tune it in. So you technically, just this show is there on demand, whether or not you want to listen to it, it's up to you. Is that pull? Yes. Is the radio station I don't listen to pull? Only if I listen to it. So
mm-hmm.
technically it's all pull.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the real story, which is you're either in tune with what people want in a world of choice where they can get anything they want at any time, or you're pushing stuff out irrespective of what the audience might be interested in. You got to be in tune with the idea that in the old days where you have just a handful of choices, we can put out almost anything, make it as mass appeal as possible, and we'll win the day.
Mm-hmm.
Not really so true anymore, increasingly less true as time goes by. And when ratings catch up to the universal menu that we have here, then it's going to be even truer.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like the only time that isn't true is at the very beginning of a platform. You get that kind of B-movie time period where everyone's allowed to kind of make mistakes and do stuff, like beginning of Snapchat, beginning or whatever, because it's all so new, no one really knows, so you can
There's no protocol.
You can still suck and still gain an audience, but that only lasts for so long is kind of what you're saying,
yeah,
right?
Well,
eventually,
I mean,
the cream rises to the top.
You know, remember they say the kittens and the puppies on YouTube. Well, now you've got, you know, YouTubers who are professional YouTube entertainers putting out content one piece a day, a few pieces a week, whatever, and they're making, in some cases, hundreds of thousands of dollars a year because they have millions, countless millions of people tuning them in. But that's professional content.
Right.
It's not the kind of professional content we see on NBC, CBS, and ABC, but it's professional nonetheless, and it's not kitties and puppies.
Mm. Yeah, it's professional for that particular genre of
that category.
Viewers. Yeah. And so when you talk about podcasting, just I want to get this on the table. Is podcasting here to stay? Is it? Because if you talk to folks who have been in the game for a long, you know, Cliff Ravenscraft, and you know, some of the folks have been doing it for a long time, they'll tell you it never went anywhere. But if you look at the statistics, I mean, we're clearly in a period now where once NPR kind of hit the radar, and then ESPN and some of the other media properties hit the radar with, you know, with podcasting, the numbers have certainly blown up. Is this a fad, or what's your take
well,
on?
Well, they've increased. I mean, blow up. It's still, I don't know, what is it up to now? 28% of everyone listens to podcasts in a month, something like that. If I get my
That's
numbers
a lot.
Right, listens to. Well, it is compared to what? You know, you got to compare it to something. Compared to other forms of audio entertainment, it's not
mm-hmm.
so much.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still growing, but it is growing, yes. Is it bigger than it was? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people like Cliff and others who are born in the podcast space think, you know, the sun rises and sets on the world of podcasting. Podcasting is just an audio distribution channel.
Mm-hmm.
And like any other distribution channel, any distribution channel, vinyl, you know, VHS.
Yeah.
DVD.
So I should hold on to my 8-tracks.
Online. I'm saying that when it's all about distribution channel, you're missing the point. Because
mm-hmm.
the point is what's on the channel,
mm-hmm.
not what the channel is.
Mm-hmm.
If you focus on what the channel is, you become a slave to the distribution channel rather than to the content, and that's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you talk about ESPN. ESPN doesn't care about distribution channels. They want their content to be wherever ears can hear it.
Mm-hmm. And so from – go ahead, Mary.
Well, I was just going to ask a question. If you have a podcaster, let's say, as a client, do you listen to their program and then critique them on how to make it more compelling or connect better to a listener? What is your – like, what role do you play as a coach or?
Well, okay, that's a good question. My work is primarily research work and strategy advisory work. So I'm not a talent coach. I don't do what a program director for a radio station would do, which is do an air check. I don't do that kind of stuff. That said, there are principles you can bring from, you know, an established medium called radio to a new medium called podcasting and say, hey, here's some things you could learn. For example, don't have an intro that's 60 seconds long before you get to the first word of content, and then don't spend the next 5 minutes jibber-jabbering until you get to the point of the podcast.
Mm-hmm. Hey, stop pointing.
You know, the average commute is 20-some-odd minutes. Most people listen to audio, foreground audio content while they're in the car driving.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got 20 minutes to capture someone's attention. Morning shows go on for 3 or 4 hours, not because I listen to all 4 hours, but because I listen to my 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole point of a 4-hour morning show is creating a 20-minute segment, which can be any 20-minute segment. But that's the thing people need to realize. When, you know, that too many podcasts are leisurely excursions of conversation. Just because a morning show does that, it's not a fair comparison. If I download content from my 20-minute window, that's a different experience than tuning in a radio station because I happen to be in this car for this 20-minute period of time.
So what other strategies would you share with that podcaster?
Well, for one thing, have a beginning, middle, and an end. Radio has no beginning or end. It's all middle. When you tune a radio show, you're in the middle of something. You're almost never at the beginning and almost never at the end, right?
Right.
Podcasting, by definition, you listen at the beginning. You'd start at the beginning. You go, if not to the end, somewhere in the middle, right? So it's got to have a beginning, a middle, and an end. And that's something that I don't necessarily hear. There's got to be a sense of forward momentum. I prefer a strategy that says, here's what we're going to get today. You know,
mm-hmm.
open, here's what we're going to get today, and here it flows out, and then we finish in as efficient a time period as possible. That's the other thing, this idea that everything needs to be an hour, 2 hours. Where'd that come from? Television? You know, radio?
Mm-hmm.
Most radio shows are 4 hours, which could easily be scoped down to one.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So let me ask you this. So speaking of radio, do you think that terrestrial radio is dead or dying? AM, FM, sort of in the traditional sense?
Well, again, your question is about distribution channel, to which I say, why are we talking about distribution channel? Let's talk
mm-hmm.
about content. If you were to say, you know, what about Dave Ramsey? Is he dying?
Mm-hmm.
Is Rush Limbaugh dying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is Ryan Seacrest dying? I mean, the answer to all three of those is no.
Mm-hmm.
Of course. It's kind of a ridiculous question. if you were to
that
say
that would be the opposite of a great yeah. question.
Two
just
of the
so
great questions
clear.
Just
yes.
disappeared.
It's hypothetically it a ridiculous question.
Yes.
No, but I'm saying that you know it's if you focus on or if you ask questions like are people spending less time listening to radio now than they used to? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Are people generally swapping out radio in favor of other technologies? Generally, no. Are they swapping out some of the minutes they spend listening to radio compared to the other technologies, both audio and non-audio? Could mm-hmm. be video games, could be Netflix, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of course they are.
Mm-hmm.
So it's dying is way too strong a word. You're talking about a, I don't know, $5, $6 billion industry in terms of commerce right
and
now.
And an old industry.
And an industry that's, let's call it one that has a legacy.
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. it's been around forever. Television, same thing. Ask the TV people if TV's dying. And they'll say, no, TV's not dying. TV's better than ever. Music. Is music dying? No, there's more music listened to than ever before. It's just listened to on different channels.
Mm-hmm. And actually, speaking of vinyl, vinyl is making a nice little comeback. I was, I don't know where I was the other, maybe Best Buy or something like that. Maybe I actually got a whole vinyl section now. So
that is called a cult and a niche. And it's making the percentage increase in vinyl sales is a big increase off a very small number.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
All right.
Well, very cool. So we're talking to Mark Ramsey today about reinventing media strategies. And if people want more information about you, they go to MarkRamseyMedia.com. MarkRamseyMedia.
Don't go to MarkRamsey.com because that guy...
That's a different guy.
That's a different guy.
We don't want that guy. We want the Mark Ramsey Media.
I couldn't get the domain.
Guy.
He won't let me have the domain.
Bastard. All right, MarkRamseyMedia.com. All right, we'll be right back as we were reinventing media strategies on Reinvention Radio right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're at a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulcher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulcher.
Alrighty, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. Hanging out with Mary Lay, Richard Tate, Steve Ulcher, and Mark Ramsey.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
Very well.
Dude, you are so fired up, man. Like, what? Seriously, like, what? When you, like, let's go through this. Like, what fires you up, man? Because you're kind of a laid-back dude, just kind of chill. You're factual. People come to you because you probably offer them an unbiased view.
I don't know what unbiased is, right? I mean, everything is informed by your perspective and your level of knowledge and insight. So, I mean, I don't have an agenda. That's I think what you're trying to say.
I'm not sure if that's exactly what I was trying to say, but now that I'm thinking about it, I think that's exactly what I was trying to say, Mary. So let me ask you this. So people come to you, companies come to you, they want help with their media strategies and so on. You're a speaker, you are on the board of the Critics' Choice, as you were just saying here, man. So as you look at the trends right now in this whole world of audio, what's most glaring and obvious to you that you think people are missing?
Well, let's see, are people missing it? I think what people tend to miss is the idea that all of these distribution channels are part of a larger whole, that when you think of online radio as one thing, as terrestrial radio as another, as podcasting as a third, and their whole conferences built around these verticals, you know, these are silos. These are silos. The thing is, you go outside on the street, you ask someone who's listening to audio content, did you listen to that FM station? So when you listen to that FM station, did you listen to the stream, or did you listen to the FM station on your phone through the through the broadcast signal, or did you listen to the podcast of your morning show? When you listen to the morning show, was it live or was it to the podcast? And people say, I don't care. Mm-hmm. I know what I want. I want to listen to what I want, and I want to listen to it in whatever way is accessible to mm-hmm. me. That's what people are missing, that the center of gravity for all of this, the common denominator is content. Mm-hmm. And the strong content needs to be wherever people want it, however people want it. That's it. It's that simple. And I think that's what people are missing more than anything.
Mm-hmm. And so from a content perspective, decent stuff out there, most of it's shit. What's your take on what's being produced?
And let's talk about audio in particular, okay? Yeah. There's a challenge with audio, and the challenge with audio is that audio doesn't share easily. Audio doesn't go viral easily because mm-hmm. one picture is worth 1,000 words. In other words, it takes 1,000 words to create one picture.
Mm-hmm.
And 1,000 words is a lot of words to consume because you got to consume it in real time, right? It actually takes time. When people share stuff on social, more often than not, what are they sharing? They're sharing videos. They're sharing images.
Mm-hmm.
If they share text, more often than not, they're sharing the title of the article, not the actual article. I've seen statistics that show something like 40% of the people who share an article actually read the article they shared. What they did read was the title.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, if people have such a short attention span, and even that which they want to share is so short, then where in the world are people going to find the time to listen to audio before sharing it? Not to mention the fact that when you do get around to sharing audio, let's say, it's not easy to share.
Yeah.
Because what are you sharing? Are you sharing the 1 minute I've been talking? Are you sharing the highlight from this conversation? Are you sharing 7 seconds?
Mm-hmm.
You can't really get a sense of anything in that period of time when you're talking about audio, because 7 seconds of audio is not much audio. One image is 1,000 words.
Yeah. So who do you think gets it right as far as audio is concerned? I mean, because Serial was immensely popular in terms of a podcast, but it was also immensely popular on NPR itself, right? So there's story to that. This is more sort of talk-ish, right, type radio. We're not doing any research in so far as like this murder and all the people that were involved in this case and this, that, and the other. There's no, as you said, beginning, middle, and end. One episode can stand alone. Like those who want to hear about reinventing media strategies, I mean, they're going to tune into this episode. And those who want to reinvent sex, they're going to tune into that episode, right? So there's no sort of continuous, you have to go from A to B to C to D as far as the show is concerned. Whereas with Serial, you kind of have to go from A to B because there is a beginning, middle, and end. Beginning being episode one and the end being whatever the last episode is.
Well,
so,
first of all, for anybody who doesn't know, Serial is the Notorious from last year podcast from the This American Life folks that told the story of a guy who was accused of a murder and was he really guilty, and they were doing all this investigative work. So that's what that was. And that was very popular. As you indicated, it was a public radio hit in the sense that, and this is something almost nobody seems to know or remember, but the folks at This American Life who produced it actually published the first episode of Serial in a one-hour slot that was devoted to This American Life, which, of course, is probably the most popular mm-hmm. weekly show on public radio.
Yeah.
So it's the equivalent of saying whatever the number one TV show is, The Voice.
Mm-hmm.
In this episode of The Voice, we're going to debut
Reinvention Radio.
Reinvention Radio. Yes, it's called giving it, you know, a real serious kickstart.
A little jumpstart, yeah.
So because you're literally putting it, I mean, you're putting it on the menu on a slot people come to every week for something awesome.
Yeah.
And then you're telling them at the end, in order to hear more of this, go over here.
Mm-hmm.
So you essentially established your spinoff.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really smart. So that was a way that they got it off the ground. It was also had a whole lot of PR attached to it. And, you know, with folks like Ira Glass. It had some cred attached to it from day one.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that, you know, in terms of people doing it right. Anybody who has a large following to begin with, a large following where there's some congruence between what that person's famous for and what they're producing and the content they're producing, well, those people can slide right over.
Mm-hmm.
For Ira Glass to say, hey, you love This American Life, you'll love this other show I'm doing.
Yeah.
That's a great sell.
For sure.
You know? For Kim Kardashian to say, you love my TV show, you're going to love my Instagram feed, that also is a great sell.
Mm-hmm. No, it totally, totally makes sense. So did you have something, Mary? You were jumping out of your
chair
there.
I mean, we're talking broad strokes on some of this, but what about some strategies or steps for people who want to do it right out of the gate on either their podcast or a radio show? Or do you have an opinion about this type of format versus a really produced and scripted program?
Well, look, first of all, you know, there are going to be the rules are going to differ across the board because there are millions of shows and there are millions of niche audiences for millions of shows. So, you know, the question first is, what's the goal? You know, if the goal is to, who's the target audience? What are you trying to do? What do they want from you? You know, what are you trying to build? I mean, you know, we got people in this town who specialize in what is it? Pat Flynn is right in this town. Has he been on this show yet? Yeah, he lives here. He lives on the other hill across from me, from what I'm told. And you can see his podcast from my house, I think. So
you can see the waves and the millions of downloads just floating through the sky. Yes, you can see the millions of
downloads. But if you think about it, okay, Pat Flynn has this thing called Smart Passive Income, which is this huge podcast. He ends up headlining a lot of the podcast conferences and so on. But think about that for a second. Smart Passive Income. Now, compare that to the appeal of, say, Kim Kardashian.
Mm-hmm.
No comparison, right? So as big as Smart Passive Income is, how big is it compared to Kim Kardashian? It's just that in its category of people who want to make a lot of income passively, you know, get rich quick, get rich, you know, through industry, whatever. He's got a lot of – and a lot of that category is people who want to create podcasts as successful as Smart Passive Income. I mean, that's kind of a pyramid thing, right?
For sure.
So that's one type of show. Other type of – the scripted shows – I think have great potential. The one I'm working on, the one I'm developing right now, is scripted. Scripted shows are very difficult, you know, because you are literally writing every word.
Yeah.
It's harder in a sense even than Serial was, because Serial was, although it was written, a lot of investigation and a lot of audio, a lot of actualities and so on. When you're writing every word, it's that much harder. So what I would say is that whether scripted or unscripted, the key thing is to have a clear focus, to have a clear sense of who the audience is and what they want, and to bring those two things into alignment. And the other thing to recognize is it's not necessarily about the largest audience. It's about the most interested audience. Because especially if you're talking to audiences, you want people who are like the people you already have and people who glom on to, you know, it's I like horror movies. There are podcasts that are just for horror fans. No one who isn't a horror fan is going to appreciate those podcasts.
Sure.
But they have a committed group of people, right?
Yeah.
The same is true in business. The same is true for Smart Passive Income. And if you find that group of people who are really into what you're doing, then you can offer them other things. You can offer them live shows. You can offer them premium tiers. You can offer them conferences. You can offer them books.
Remotes or anything, yeah.
Yeah, you can offer them other goods and services that are extensions of the podcast. In other words, the podcast, the audio, isn't necessarily the end-all and be-all. It could be part of a bigger strategy. If you listen to any of the Slate podcasts, Political Gab Fest, for example, they're always doing live shows. The podcast is free. The live shows are not. They have a premium tier at Slate. The premium tier has a fee attached to it. The regular shows do not.
Yeah.
So they're able to monetize that way. And by monetize, the flip side of monetize is give more people what they want that they're willing to pay for.
Yeah, monetization obviously is, I think, the holy grail for most folks who go into this audio world. I mean, why else would you be in it unless you just have an absolute love for it? And there
I would argue that's perfectly good reason. I mean, you know, there are people who are musicians who never made a penny. I mean, this notion that people, because they're on Pandora, they need to be millionaires like Taylor Swift is ridiculous. I mean, you know, when you have a play on Pandora, it's a play to one individual. When you have a play on the radio, it's a play to thousands of individuals. The two are not the same.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, interesting. All right, well, look, we're talking reinventing media strategies here with Mark Ramsey. And if you want information about Mark Ramsey, it's MarkRamsay.
E-Y.
See, I knew if I misspelled it, then I would get some emotion out of you. So there we go.
Write it down in advance.
Mark Ramsey Media. .com. All right, my man, we'll be right back after this with Reinvention Radio and Mark Ramsey.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
Looking to be a successful entrepreneur? The virtual assistant industry continues to be a top choice for those looking to start their own business. The problem can be how to become a virtual assistant. Many turn to the Bible of the VA industry, the book, Virtual Assistant, the series, and it's the perfect guide for office managers, executive assistants, and other administrative professionals looking to make the transition from employee to successful business owner. Go to vatheseries.com to get your copy today.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Olscher.
All right. Welcome back to Reinvention Radio. Steve Olscher hanging out here. Richie Rich, how you doing, my man?
There's still a line at the bathroom?
There is still a line. Mary Goulet, how you doing?
Well, it's the darn hallway. It's like...
it's like 75 million feet long. Who knew that?
It really is, and I'm
used to the old station. Did you know we just moved here, Mark?
I heard that.
Yeah, and what do you think of the new digs?
I think it's fabulous.
Yeah, it is. This is like an incredible... but the one thing that's not so fabulous is the distance to the Bono. That is like...
it is so funny. There's like... it's like you're walking through the halls of heaven with that weird color on the walls.
You guys need some Howard Hughes receptacles or something.
And that would be perfect. Actually, I'm going to do like one of those things. You ever see those folks like when that lady drove from wherever it was to Florida to... I think it was Texas to Florida. Because the space shuttle dude to kill her boyfriend. Yeah, that's what we need here. Wade, we got to work on that. We need one of those things like, exactly.
Wade knows what we're talking about. Wade sounds like an astronaut's name, doesn't it?
Wade is, and White Wade sounds like, All right, man. So we're talking to Mark Ramsey here, and that's R-A-M-S-E-Y. Exactly. You always, when you do a show, what's the first thing you want to do?
Write your guest
name.
Ladies
and gentlemen, write down your guest name.
That's what I said. That was my piece of advice for the day. You know, sometimes people mistake me for Dave Ramsey.
I doubt that.
No,
I
people have said, I really
that.
Enjoy your show. And I've kind of been puzzled at that. I thought, you mean the podcast?
Isn't Mark Ramsey the white supremacist? Is that, who am I thinking? Who's the bald guy that like is always on like Fox? Is that Mark? I thought that was Mark.
Gosh, I hope not.
All right. So we got to spell, it's not Mark Ramsey with that guy. It's the Mark Ramsey media guy. And we're talking about reinventing media strategies. Let me ask you this. What do you think is going to happen when Wi-Fi hits the car? Just another channel, right?
Well, it's in the car now. I mean, it's in the car. Every time you bring your phone into the car, it's in the car. Mm-hmm. And that's enough, quite frankly. I mean, the idea that the car will have its own, be its own hotspot is a great feature for anyone who wants to pay for it, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But you have your own hotspot every time you bring your phone into the car. Mm-hmm. So I think it's there in almost every car that is on the road right now. The question is, how easy is it to use the content on that phone while you're driving? Mm-hmm. And how advisable is it to use the content on that phone while you're driving? Now, take the driver out of the car or take the driving out of the car and make the car drive itself, and it's a whole new world. It becomes the new living room.
So what do you think happens then when the autonomous car comes into play, which it will come, I mean, into mainstream play here, I think, as they've been saying, I mean, certainly within the next 5 years, and it could be much sooner than that. But what do you think happens as far as audio and media in general?
It becomes an entertainment playground. It becomes the new living room. It's that simple. I mean, anything you can do. You want to work, you can work. You want to play, you can play. You want to watch a movie, you're watching a movie. Mm-hmm. It's really all of the above. But the idea that anyone will focus on anything other than a screen is naive.
Mm-hmm. So, in other words, you can envision these autonomous cars with a big sort of TV screen and... because you're not going to need, I mean, why would you even need windows, right, in these things? I mean, you'll probably want windows, but you could literally have, like, a theater-style vehicle that moves you from point A to point B. So maybe actually radio listenership will decrease if television becomes more of an option in the car, no?
I would think that what will happen under that scenario, I mean, you know, we're going out a few years now because, I mean, I think the rollover cycle on cars is something like 7 years. So even if the brand new, even if tomorrow every car was self-driving, it would still take years before it was, you know, universal.
Sure.
But, you can't help but assume that listening to audio of any sort, but especially radio probably because it's so ubiquitous in cars, would diminish under the scenario where cars drive themselves. Mm-hmm. Simply because in a world of choice, you're going to choose. You're going to play video games. You're going to watch Netflix. You're going to do any of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to be held to things that are focused on certain senses so that you can devote other senses to the road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because obviously you can be as distracted as you want to be because you don't have to do anything but sit there. So,
right.
Yeah, you know, and Rich, that's going to be our big idea right there, man. I think we're going to create these, like Mark said, we're going to create these living room, like, luxury vehicles that'll be self-driving, and there we go. So we could probably get Sony or someone else as a sponsor. What do you think?
I mean, it's really a serious topic of conversation because, you know, it really leads you to say, well, what is a car when it drives itself?
Mm.
You know, what is a car when it drives itself? Why do you need windows? Why do you need to see anything?
Sure.
Maybe you could argue that you'd want your privacy when the car is doing all the work. You just want to open that door and be where you need to be.
Maybe maybe audio goes up because people are sleeping. You know, like they're just listening and their eyes are closed. They're laying down.
Could be.
I think a meditation podcast is in order for Reinvention Radio. Although a lot of people might argue that Reinvention Radio is already a meditation podcast.
No, not
whatsoever. All right, so Mary, I know you were trying to dig in here because you got your own show and you wanted some more strategies and these sort of things. So talk a little bit more about what you were asking on the break there.
Okay, so who is your typical client in the radio or podcast individual or co-host situation?
Individual podcasts generally don't hire people like me. You know, it's just not a thing that they do. They'll listen to smart passive income.
Do you have a thing against Pat? I sense a little something.
I don't know
something
Pat.
There.
I've never met Pat.
Would you like to meet Pat? Pat's a good guy.
I could go down the street and probably find his house.
That's
I'll
what we'll do.
We'll
do a little dinner thing. We'll do a little barbecue. We'll have some of our past guests there. That's a great idea. I love that idea.
Has Pat been on the show?
He has twice, actually.
Of course. Now I've forgotten your question.
Your ideal client.
Oh, thank you.
Because you do a lot of research, so what would you be searching for them?
Well, typically the research is proprietary, so it's for a particular client. So the purpose is to grow an audience, for example, or to be, you know, the thing about doing a lot of research is you get a sense for what consumers are into, and you get a sense for where the proverbial puck is moving. And that's really the main advantage to people in the podcast space and others who are trying to figure out how all of this fits together.
Right.
That's why one of my big messages has been, look, it's not a silo. It's a tapestry. And together it all adds up to audio. And, you know, the podcast people need to talk to the radio people, need to talk to the online radio people. They all need to talk together because at the end of the day, it's all consumers with ears and choices.
Yeah. No, I think that's really good advice. And to that end, if you were telling someone, like, just – reading the tea leaves, you see what's going on in the future here. What do you see as the right strategy for someone who is getting into this world? If you're starting a show or creating some sort of content from scratch, what do you recommend folks do to take advantage of where that, as you said, the puck is going?
Well, I think, first of all, you have to have a purpose. And the purpose has to be, and if it's just your purpose, you know, if I have this great idea for a show, I want to do this show and I want to grow an audience, you know, that's called a vanity project, and you're free to do that if you want, just like a musician is free to write songs if he or she wants, but don't assume that's going to grow an audience, you know, and don't necessarily expect or demand that grow an audience. You know, sometimes it's okay to do things just for the love of doing them, and that's fair.
So are you suggesting that people niche into something?
I'm saying that don't assume that your passion project will garner a huge audience, number one. Mm-hmm. Secondly, feel free to build a passion project that doesn't require a huge audience, number two.
Mm-hmm.
Third, focus on a topic that is important to you. It's got to matter to you first. And find and think about who the audience is on the back end. Mm-hmm. What do they have in common? Why should they listen to this? Why should they consume this content over any other content? Why should they spend their precious time when they have so many choices, listening to this or watching this, whatever the content happens to be? Mm-hmm. Why you? You know, it helps to have a bridge to something that's already popular. You know, if you have Pat in here, Pat has a big following. You get the benefit of Pat's big following by having Pat in here or someone else like Pat.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a topic that's particularly hot, if you're newsjacking, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
then you get the benefit of that hijacking that news topic. I did mm-hmm. a thing on a show yesterday about a what is it called? I can't remember. It's a little piece of metal that goes into the iPhone 6 to cover up the hole where the earplug goes.
Yeah.
Because you should be embarrassed now to have that in the presence of the iPhone 7.
Oh, yeah.
And it got huge publicity because it didn't exist. It was just a stunt from a little shop that did, you know, apps.
All right, my man. Well, thanks so much for joining us here as we reinvent media strategies. MarkRamseyMedia.com. And we will talk to you guys next time here on Reinvention Radio. Take care, guys.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olscher, visit reinventionradio.com.